I'm going to read quite a bit out of the Book of Mormon this morning. I want to read a little bit out of Mosiah. There's many places there that they tell such great stories. I want to begin in the second chapter. And I'll begin with the first few verses in that chapter and read on through it for a few verses. And it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of his speaking, the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of, the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had came upon them, and they had. And they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. Now these people had been a people that had went astray for a time, and here, as he preached to them, it was made known unto them, to begin with, the truth of his words and the importance of them. And they all cried with one voice, saying, "Oh, have mercy!" And apply the anointing blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness for our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created the heaven and the earth and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. Now their knowledge had been increased greatly there, and had been made known unto them, and caused that they might realize the importance of following after Christ, and the importance of repenting and turning from their sinful ways. I want to drop on down here now to the seventh verse. And King Benjamin again opened his mouth and began to speak unto them, saying, "My friends and my brethren, my kindred and my people, I would again call your attention, that ye may hear and understand the remainder of my words which I shall speak unto you. For behold, if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time has awakened you to the sense of your nothingness and your worthlessness and fallen state, I say unto you, if ye have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power, and his wisdom, and his patience, and long-suffering toward the children of men, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come unto him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man who receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, whichever since the fall of Adam, and who or who are or who shall be even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh." And this isn't something new to us, that we know that salvation comes from the Lord, and that we must turn unto him, and that we must keep his commandments, forsake the things of the world, and strive continually to improve ourselves. I want to drop on down here to the 16th verse in this chapter, and again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them. And this is something that I think that a lot of people, they kind of like to turn away from the, they like to repent, but they don't like to turn away from their sins completely and to forsake them. And this is something that we must do. And humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. Showing here that we can't be lifted up in pride and that we must forsake the things that has led us astray. And now, if ye believe all these things, see that ye do them. It appears in our Sunday school class, I think, that the brothers of Nephi that went astray, I think there were times they believed and they knew, but yet they couldn't fulfill this part. See that ye do them. Now, that is the important thing. I think Harvey mentioned about a preacher that said, don't do as I do as I tell you to do. And that's what most people want to do. They know what's right, and they want to enjoy the benefits of God and Christ, but a lot of them don't want to put the effort into it. Even some of the old forefathers of our country, the leaders, they didn't do exactly what they should have done. They knew what should be done, and they done a great work, and I think, I'm sure that the Lord directed them in what they should do, and they set up the greatest country in the world. But some of them didn't really adhere to what they knew to be true. I'm glad that they, in the back of their mind, knew what was right and set up our Constitution the way it is, and that we might have the government that we've got. But here he told them that they must do them. They must repent, forsake them, and then do that which they know to be right. Nobody here in the 21st verse. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the Lord, on the name of the Lord daily. Now this is important, isn't it, that we pray to the Lord. Even the brother Jared, in one of the more righteous men, I believe, of the world, and one of the more powerful men, there was a time he forgot to pray to the Lord for a period of 4 years. I can't hardly believe that, but it says so. I'm sure it was 4 years, maybe I'm wrong, but it's a good length of time. But it says, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfast in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of an angel. And behold, I say unto you, that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice, and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. Now, it doesn't really promise us that we're going to be wealthy or anything, but you shall always rejoice if you turn to the Lord. You'll always have him to turn to and be filled with the love of God. And ye shall grow in the knowledge and of the glory of him that created you, in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And ye will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and render every man according to that which is his due. This tells us here that we're going to be a kind and generous people, that we're not going to try to lead people astray. We're going to be a patient people. And if you find anyone that has part of these, or all of them, of these conditions in their hearts, they're going to be a joy to be around. The more of them they have, the more joy they will be to be around. I want to go back into the previous chapter here for a few verses. In the first chapter of Mosiah, I'm going to begin with verse 73, I believe. But, O my people, beware, lest there shall arise contention among you, and ye list to obey the evil spirit which was spoken by my father, Mosiah. For behold, there is a woe pronounced upon him who listeth to obey that spirit. For if he listeth to obey him, and remaineth and dieth in his sins, the same drinketh damnation unto his soul. For he receiveth the wages of everlasting punishment, having transgressed the law of God, contrary to him, to his own knowledge. And I looked up this word list or listeth in the dictionary this morning, and one place it says to tilt, and I suppose that would lean toward the teaching of Satan, and the other said to listen to. Both end up being about the same thing. And it's pretty easy for us to lean these ways if we're not pretty careful. As we recently traveled, we was out in what they call the Salt Flats or the Salt Lake Desert, west of Salt Lake, about probably 70 miles. And as we drove along, I can't remember the fellow's name. Shirley probably could. His mother is the one that stood so against the prayer in public school, and he was the young man that was going to school, and they were atheists. And as we well know, that they fought very hard. If Christians fought that hard, I think we would conquer the world. But they fought very hard to have prayer thrown out of school, and were very successful. But this, I presume, young man, maybe in his 20s or early 30s now, I don't know. But he was telling of his life a little bit. And he told of how he was very successful in business and eventually became the head, so to speak, of the movement of the atheists. And he said that the further he went along in it, the more dejected he felt. That he got to where that he said that he drank about a gallon of coffee and smoked three packs of cigarettes a day and a fifth of scotch. And he said that as he went along, he realized that the organization which he headed and directed had only one thing, and that was to tear down. They weren't trying to lift anyone anywhere. And they were very successful in raising money, and they got quite a large bank account. And he wanted to take some of the money, and I forget what he was going to help. I don't know whether it was a hospital or a school or something. He wanted to take it before the board of directors. And they wanted to take the money and use it in trying to take the In God We Trust off of our money. That was what they wanted to use the money for. And he said it was there that he realized that the organization that he was heading was not good. And at that time, I had to get out of the car and go make a telephone call, and Shirley heard the rest of it, so I don't know what his story was. But he, as we well know, has turned to the Lord and has accepted Christianity, and I don't know what, I have no idea what church he belongs to, but he said that he visits his mother now and then, but they don't see eye to eye at all. And it's strange that a person that has fought so hard against religion and Christianity and Christ has turned around. And that's what old Satan has tried to do for years, is to get the people listen, turn to him, and turn away from things of God. And he's been very, very successful. But this young man, seeing the error of his way, and turned from it. It's too bad we couldn't get him working for us. But at least he has ceased and desisted from the efforts of the atheist. I want to go over here a little further in this same chapter, over to verse 119. And I think this is something we've all got to consider, and I'm sure that this young man that was an atheist is aware of this. For the natural man is an enemy to God. The natural man is an enemy to God. Isn't that a shame? And has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. So we have got to work diligently to turn that around in our own lives and in the lives round of those round about us. But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, now if he will just listen a little bit to the encouragement of that which is good in him and the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh a child, as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love. Now that is the one, I think, the thing that is probably the most important, becoming full of love. And then all these others will come with them. Did you ever notice how a mother is much more patient with a child than some of the neighbors round about them? Because she's full of love for that child. Submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all the things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. Now that tells us a whole lot of what we've got to do, doesn't it? And I believe most of us do that. I think there's times that we could improve it considerable. I know that I've got two or three little things I could probably improve on, and my wife can probably think of five or six, and the neighbors maybe a 50 or 60. But we do continually need to improve and work harder. And moreover, I say unto you, that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children only, through the repentance and faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So it tells us where we stand, that we aren't going to be found blameless. And I don't believe very many people in the world shall. I want to go over to Helaman now for a few verses. The third chapter. I'm going to begin on the 127th verse. Therefore Nephi did declare unto them the word of the Lord, saying, except ye repent, thus saith the Lord, ye shall be smitten even unto destruction. Now, I believe that we would find that in the book of Mosiah there, King Benjamin, and go back into Mosiah and so on, told the people the same thing. Here's what Nephi did, in a major number of ways, except you repent, thus saith the Lord, ye shall be smitten even unto destruction. And it came to pass that when Nephi had declared unto them the word, behold, they did still harden their hearts and would not hearken unto his words. Therefore they did revile against him and did seek to lay their hands upon him, that they might cast him into prison. Now this is slightly different than what happened in the book of Mosiah, isn't it? The people there heeded. They said, oh, we believe you, and we're going to do something about it.
We believe you, and we're going to do something about it. Here these people rebelled. But behold, the power of God was with him, and they could not take him to cast him into prison. For he was taken by the Spirit and conveyed away out of the midst of them. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? Here, as they tried to lay their hands upon him, he, still having a great work to do, was not allowed to have this happen to him. Now, we know there was times they were cast into prison, but it pleased the Lord this time to take him out of the midst of them. Looks like right there that it might have gave them an idea that there might be something to what he was saying, that they weren't able to take hold of him. And it came to pass that thus he did go forth in the Spirit from multitude to multitude, declaring the word of God, even until he had declared it unto them all, or sent it forth amongst all the people. And it came to pass that they would not hearken unto his words, and they began to contend, insomuch that they were divided against themselves and began to slay one another. Here they turned against them, their own selves. They not only argued with him and disputed, but they turned against themselves and they began to slay one another. Now that was a pretty hard old thing. And I want to read a little bit in this fourth chapter. And it came to pass that in the 72nd year in the reign of the judges, that the contentions did increase, insomuch that there were wars throughout all the land among the people of Nephi. I'm going to go on down here a few more verses here in the down to the fourth verse here. And it came to pass in that and in this year that see and it came to pass in this year Nephi did cry unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, do not suffer this people that they shall be destroyed by the sword, but O Lord, rather let there be a famine in the land to stir them up in remembrance of the Lord their God, that perhaps they will repent and turn unto thee. It would be better for them to die of famine than to turn away from the Lord. We know, well, we'll go ahead and read some of this, and it'll tell us what happened. And so it was done according to the word of Nephi, and there was a great famine upon the land among all the people of Nephi. Now, can you imagine the faith this took? Can you imagine what transpired in these few verses? Here he preached to the people, they turned away from it, they began to kill each other, and he asked the Lord to cause a famine to come upon the land. Now, this man was fairly firm in his faith, wasn't he? It says if you have the faith of a mustard seed that you could remove mountains. Here, all Nephi did was cause it to cease to rain. And if you don't think that can cause quite a problem, we can look throughout the world today and find where people are literally starving to death because of lack of rain. And then we see if there is abundance of it, like there has been in Denver recently, that it's also a plague. Too much of anything is not good. And thus, in the 74th year, the famine did continue, and the work of destruction did cease by the sword, but become sore by famine. They decided to quit killing each other with a sword and turn from it. And this work of destruction did also continue into the 75th year. For the earth was smitten that it was dry and did not yield forth grain in the season of grain. And the whole earth was smitten, even among the Lamanites, as well as among the Nephites, so that they were smitten that they did perish by the thousands in the more wicked parts of the land. And I wonder how close that the world could be coming to situations like this today. I don't know whether it's because of wickedness, the famines in Africa. I don't really know. But I do know that if all the people there turned to the Lord and sought His ways, that it would soon be turned around. But I don't say that it's because of wickedness. I do not know. I don't know that anybody prayed that there'd be a drought there, but we know there is one. And it came to pass that the people saw that they were about to perish by famine, and they began to remember the Lord their God. After they had turned and fought and become hungry and died by the thousands, then they remembered the Lord their God. And they began to remember the words of Nephi. And the people began to plead with their chief judges and their leaders, that they would say unto Nephi, Behold, we know that thou art a man of God, and therefore cry unto the Lord our God. Notice there, it become our God now. It was their God. They knew who they should be turning to, that he may turn away from us this famine, lest all the words which thou hast spoken concerning our destruction be fulfilled. Right away they knew when they become hungry enough that there had to be something done, and they were willing to do something about it. And it came to pass that the judges did say unto Nephi, according to the words which had been desired. Now isn't that something? That the judges, now they were turning too. And it came to pass that when Nephi saw that the people had repented and did humble themselves in sackcloth, he cried again unto the Lord, saying, Lord, or O Lord, behold, this people repenteth. We know that the Lord already knew all these things. He knows what we need, but he does request that we turn to him and ask for them. And they have swept away the band of Gideonian from amongst them, insomuch that they have become extinct, and they have concealed their secret plans in the earth. And now, O Lord, because of their humility, wilt thou turn away thine anger, and let thine anger be appeased in the destruction of those wicked men whom thou hast already destroyed. O Lord, wilt thou turn away thine anger, yea, thy fierce anger, and cause that the famine may cease in the land? And can you imagine the anger of the Lord being upon you? There would be nothing as bad in the whole world. And these people well knew that. And they did turn from their wicked ways, and they sought the ways of the Lord. Down here in the 20th verse, And it came to pass that in the 76th year the Lord did turn away his anger from the people and caused that rain should fall upon the earth, insomuch that they did bring that it did bring forth fruit in the season of fruit. And it came to pass that it did bring forth grain in the season of grain. And behold, the people did rejoice and glorify God. Now there they really turned to him, didn't they? They was turned away from their sinful ways. And the whole face of the land was filled with rejoicing. And they did no more seek to destroy Nephi, but they did esteem him as a great prophet and a man of God, having great power and authority given unto him of God. Now that would be a rather a joyous occasion. And behold, Lehi, his brother, was not a whit behind him as to the things pertaining to righteousness. Here, there was a couple of people that were pretty righteous there, wasn't there? And what a joyous time that was. And how happy it makes the Lord when the people turn unto him. But it makes him much happier that they don't have to, because they've never turned away from him. And we see the trend of the people throughout the world turning away from the Lord. There is a few people that are righteous. There are those that seek the Lord. Some of them don't have the full gospel, but they do know that there is a God, and they seek after him, and they seek to keep the commandments. They seek not to lie, cheat, and steal, and all of these things that are not good. And I'm certain that it's because of the few righteous people that many cities today are not destroyed. Because as soon as we cease to have righteous people in these cities, I'm sure that they will be destroyed. And it's such a terrible thing that these things happen because they don't need to. I want to read a verse or two out of the last chapter of James. Of another time. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. So what Nephi done here isn't really an isolated case, and we can find other occasions like this in the scripture. But here was a man with great faith, and he knew the wickedness was great throughout the world, and that something had to be done, and he knew that it was better that they starve and some of them die and then turn to the Lord than it was for them to kill each other and to continue to sin. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save his soul from death, and this is so important, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So there is going to be trials and tribulations, and the sad part of it is they do not need to be here. The world does not need to have these trials upon them. They do not need these problems. But as long as we have people that do not follow after the Lord, do not keep the commandments, and strive to destroy his work, we're going to have these trials and these hardships and these many things come upon the people of the world. I want to read just one verse. I wish, if I can, it's always nice to end with a joyous thing that can happen. Here in 4th Nephi, and here's what can happen. The things can be turned around, And here was a time when people had been wicked and turned to the Lord. I'm going to read in the fourth book of Nephi in the 17th verse. And it came to pass that there was no more contention in the land. And, you know, this is what happened when these people here turned to the Lord. They didn't contend. They sought after the Lord. But it wasn't as widespread as this, and it did not last as long. But here it said, it came to pass that there was no contention in all the land. That would be worthwhile right there, wouldn't it? Because the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people, and there was no envyings, no strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lying, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, no murders, neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites, but they were in one, the children of Christ, and heirs of the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings. And other things, when they went out to do things, they were successful. And they were able to accomplish the things they needed to do. Yea, even they were blessed and prospered until the 110th year had passed away, and the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in all the land. And this has happened several times among a small group of people, sometimes pretty large, and for a period of time. Here it lasted, I think, about 200 years before it started to fall apart. But this could happen right here today in the United States if people return to the Lord. But as we go about and observe the people of the world, we find that there isn't very many people interested in changing their lives and becoming interested in things that would give them eternal life. And we cannot even describe what eternal life would be to them, how great it would be. I'm sure that if people could see it instantly and see the two sides as though they were on a great stage looking out across the whole time and the world and eternity, that they would be able to change. But this isn't the way God's going to do it. He's not going to force anyone to turn to Him. But He does make it very profitable to do so. Maybe not in riches, but in things that are very important, in knowledge of the Lord and comfort and this type of thing. If the people could just see this without being made to see it, how well it would be for the whole world.
This evening we'll have preaching here at 7 o'clock. Let us turn to song number 27, and it's 27. Let us stand. I'm
Thank you.